not having enough clothes to keep me warm. And besides all these, I've been burdened, worried about all the churches. And then he says, when others are weak, I'm weak. And when others are tricked, I'm angry. If you're wondering, this is the CV version. Sounds a little different from King James and the New King James. But here's Paul's resume. Can you imagine the Apostle Paul still continues to strive? He says, I press towards the mark of the upward calling in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but after the 39 lashes, maybe one of those, I'll be looking for another line of work. But he went through it all 5 times. And then 3 times beaten with a stick. Wow. I know we used to get some cocktails, you know, spankings growing up, but not like this. You know, Paul was left for dead sometimes, but God was, God had a purpose for him. So what was Paul's motivation? And how can we focus or be dialed in to God's will for our purpose, for our lives today? Paul gives some examples to the saints at Corinth that I believe would help us with our walk as we would stay focused. And now we're back to 1 Corinthians 10. In verse 1, he starts off with the first example. He says, All our fathers were under the cloud. What is Paul talking about? So he takes them back to the days when the nation of Israel, well, not the nation yet, the children of Israel were in bondage in Egypt, and God delivered them after 400 years of bondage. And God chose a cloud and a pillar of fire to lead the nation out. So Paul is using this example as he takes them back. And he says, and God led them by the cloud and by fire for 40 years. God did this. God never departed from them during that entire time. We know the whole story of what happened to the children of Israel. So God's leadership, Paul wanted to highlight. The greatest king of Israel, David, he also recognized God's leadership. And he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Right? And he says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. David recognized God's leadership as God's greatest king. And he had a responsibility to shepherd this nation. And David had to be obedient to God. So the children of Israel had God's leadership with them. And we know that they were not obedient all the way. Because even Paul tells us there that God was not pleased with all of them. And we'll see later on what happened. Christ, the head of the church, the good shepherd, he was obedient also to the Father, even unto death. He gave his life for the sheep. So if Christ could be obedient to the Father and the Father's leading, how much more do we? So Paul wanted to highlight the fact that their God led them in this cloud. In the cloud, we had the angel of God, Exodus 14, verse 19 and 20. The angel of God would go wherever the cloud went. So when the angel of God moved, the cloud would follow for Israel's protection and so on and so forth. And the angel of God was with Israel for those 40 years. In Exodus 23, God says, I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries, for my angel will go before you. So the second thing Paul wanted to show them there is that in that same cloud, God fights our battles. Deuteronomy 1:30 and 33, the Lord says, the Lord God who gives, who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. God was fighting for the nation of Israel, the children of Israel, while they were in Egypt. We know of the 10 plagues and how God preserved them when the armies of the Egyptian were upon them and their backs was against the Red Sea. God preserved, protected them by moving the cloud and the angel of God between them and between the armies of the Egyptians. So we have God's protection in the cloud. In the cloud, we have access to God. The nation of Israel, the children of Israel, had access to God through Moses in the cloud. Exodus 33 and 9 tells us when Moses entered the tabernacle, the pillar of cloud descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked to Moses there face to face. That angel of the Lord, the angel of God, stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the door always speaks of entrance, of access. And so there was a relationship that that the people of Israel had through Moses with God. We're reminded that Jesus is the door in John 10 and 9, right? He says, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. And so in the cloud, there was relationship with God. There was access to God through Moses. The scripture even tells us that we have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we today have access to God by Jesus Christ, just as the nation, as the children of Israel had access to God by way of Moses in the cloud. From the cloud, God had given instructions for living, and he expected obedience. Psalms 99 and 7 tells us, he spoke to them in the pillar, in the cloudy pillar, and they kept his testimonies and his ordinance as he gave them. This reminds me of an athlete that must compete, but according to the rules. There's always rules to follow. And we, as children of God, even today, we have the word of God. And we have instructions to follow. And God expects our obedience. Even so, Luke was writing, he said, in Luke 9:35, and here is God communicating again in the cloud. He says, and the voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. God expects us to hear his word, and he expects us to obey. And we know that the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hands. So we have instructions from God through his Son. In the olden days, God spoke through the prophets. But in these last days, God has spoken to us through his Son. And he expects our obedience. The second example Paul wanted to draw their attention to, he talks about the sea. He says, all passed through the sea. This is in Exodus 14 and 21, when the nation of Israel, now the Egyptian army was behind them, and Moses stretched out his hand and the sea parted and they walked on dry land. And he's using this illustration to show how God's protection, God's preservation, God's blessing of his people as they walk through the sea. Nehemiah 9 puts it this way. He says, so they went through the midst of the sea on dry land, and their persecutors were thrown into the deep as a stone into the midst of waters. In the sea, we have God's blessing. God reminded Abraham that I will bless you. I will bless those that bless you. And I will curse those that curse you. Those Egyptians that followed to try to destroy the people of Israel, they were destroyed in the Red Sea. Ephesians 1 and 3 tells us that God has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we have the blessings of God in Christ Jesus as we are baptized in Christ. So did the nation of Israel. They had the blessings of God as they were baptized in Moses in through the sea as they walked through on dry land. The third example Paul points them to is the bread of life. Look at verse 2. He says, all ate the same spiritual food. And this speaks of the bread of life. In Exodus 16, the Lord said, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. So God provided food for the nation, for the children of Israel, as they were in the wilderness. And they had this thing that looked like bread called manna. And so God provided for their needs. And that bread actually pointed to, that spiritual bread pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ. John 6:35, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And he who comes to me shall never hunger. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. In that entire 40 years, God was with them. They never stopped being fed the bread. They had the spiritual food with God. And he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. That bread of life speak of an abundant life. John 10:10, right? Jesus says, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The fourth example he gives them is about living water. Look at verse 2 again. He says, all drank the same spiritual drink. You know, an athlete, you've got to eat right? And you've got to drink right as well. And I recall Usain Bolt talking about his diet from his grandparents, right? And, you know, and he was competitive, in his endeavors. And he credited to his diet. So you got to eat right and we got to drink right. And God provided all of this for the nation of Israel, for the children of Israel. In Psalm 78, it says he split the rock in the wilderness and give them drink in abundance, like the depths. That's a lot of drink. And God provided for them for the whole time. The spiritual walk that followed them was continuous. Jesus, speaking to the woman at the well, alludes to this spiritual drink. He says, John 4 and 14, but whoever drinks of the water I shall give him will never thirst. But the water I shall give him will become to him a fountain of water springing into everlasting life. This is the life-giving spirit, the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we look at these examples, the sea, the cloud, the spiritual food and drink, we see they all point to one person, and that is Jesus Christ. That is Paul's motivation when he went through all those trials and he never gave up. Christ was the rock who never left Israel for a moment in the wilderness. And looking forward is the same rock that God struck on the cross of Calvary, according to Isaiah 53 and 10. Paul sums up his commitment, his focus, his motivation in Christ the rock, the ultimate prize. Here's how he put it in Galatians 2 and 20. He says, I've been crucified with Christ, the rock. It is no longer I who live, but Christ, the rock. Bible doesn't say rock in this verse, but I'm adding the rock, right? Because that's who it is, Christ, the rock. For he lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, which is also the rock, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul's motivation, Paul's commitment to the work of God, his whole focus was on the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock. And he says, I can do all things through Christ, the rock, who strengthens me. Paul warns the saints at Corinth 2,000 years ago, prior to us, that if they were to focus on Jesus Christ, if they would not focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, they would fall into a similar pattern of sin as the nation of Israel, as their forefathers. And he was warning them. Some of the things they were involved in was idolatry, sexual immorality, complaining, and pride. All these things, Paul says, if you don't learn from the examples of your forefathers, if you don't look to the rock, you too can fall prey. He also challenged them in same 1 Corinthians 10:31. He says, therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And we need these constant reminders because we are susceptible, because we are still in this flesh. And so we are going to be tested, and we're going to be tempted. But God, being gracious, says even with the temptation, he'll make a way of escape. So as I get ready to close, I want to draw attention to some important reasons. It's good to have this information, but what is the reason? What is the important lesson here that we should keep our focus on the rock? The first one is vulnerability. Simply put, if we don't look at the rock, we'll stumble and sometimes fail as our circumstances get difficult. This reminds me of Peter when he saw Jesus coming on the water. Peter walked out, says, Lord, bid me to come to you. And then what happened? Peter started seeing the waves. And then once he started seeing the waves, he sank. So are us today. When we take our eyes off the rock, we too can fail. And we too can stumble. But thanks be to God. Our God, who is faithful and just to forgive us, when we call on him, he will make a way of escape. Israel looked back to Egypt instead of on the rock. And that was their mistake. And the Bible says only two came out of Egypt into the promised land, Joshua and Caleb. All the others died in the wilderness because God was not pleased with them. They were looking back to Egypt. They wanted all that good food. They wanted to eat and drink and then just get up to play. That's all they wanted to do. But God was pointing them to a greater purpose. The second thing I want us to look at, to focus on here, the importance of looking at the rock, is availability. Time is not waiting for us. We must make good use of the opportunities that the Lord gives us now. Even in this chapter here, Paul said his desire is that all men be saved. He was talking about eating and drinking and about people inviting you to their house, and they would have food that was sacrificed to animals. And he says, just tell them no, for conscience sake. And out of that, you can have a conversation where you can point them to the Savior. And so every opportunity we have, we are to redeem the time, because the days are evil. The third thing is accountability. And this is the most significant of the three and the most ignored of the three. And it speaks there, and it tells us there of the judgment seat of Christ. Every Christian will give an account. And we have to take that to heart. When we focus on the Lord, he will see us through. Paul describes that exchange. He says, if anyone's work, which he has built on it endures, this is 1 Corinthians 3:14, he will receive a reward. God will take care of us. But if anyone's works burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself would be saved, as though through the fire. And so we have vulnerability when we don't look to the rock. We're vulnerable to sin. And then we have to be available, ready to serve, always ready to give an account. when asked concerning that hope that is within us. And then we have to be careful because we're going to be accountable. We have to give an account. So in essence, the message Paul wanted to convey to us, as he did to the church at Corinth, is that everyone who competes to win will hear from their Lord, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." And that's the word Paul wants to hear. That's what he says, "I press toward the mark of the prize of the upward calling in Christ Jesus." Are we competing to win today? Are we just settling just to tag along? Now, for those who are competing for a perishable crown, as I talked about that imperishable crown in the beginning, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you were to reject him today, the Bible says, the only thing waiting for you is the wrath of God, the judgment of God, and the lake of fire. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Today, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says you shall be saved and know it. God is able, and there's nothing too hard for him. He's able to deliver us who know him from the bondage of sin as we look to him, looking on to Jesus, the Hebrew writer tells us, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him, he endured that cross and he suffered the shame and sat down at the right hand of God. May the Lord bless his word.